You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look for ways we can work together to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today we have with us Jamie and Tammy Lancaster. They're former missionaries to Uruguay. They've got a new ministry with international missions that they'll share with us later. But first of all, thank you all for stopping by to be with us on the Better Together podcast today.
Thanks for inviting us.
Thank you so much.
Well, about 7 years ago, things just really changed for you all, didn't they? Could you share with us a bit about what happened to you 7 years ago that changed your lives?
Well, big change.
Big changes. I'll do the setup and she can tell the story. But we were at a time in our ministry and our lives, and we'd been asked to start a church plant, and we'd been praying about that to see if we really had what it took to do that. And Tammy was going through some things, and she had gone through a women's retreat and been gone for 2 or 3 days. And while she was gone, I sat down and typed up a strategy for a church plant. And when she got back, she said, you know, I met this person, we talked, and I worked through a lot of emotional hurt. And I feel like a tremendous load's been lifted from me. And I said, well, that's great, because I wrote a strategy. And that Monday, she was feeling a little under the weather, but I got her up because she's my proofreader. And I said, would you proofread this?
Yes.
And I turned in my strategy, and I got a note back, and it says, you know, this looks great. We look forward to see you putting this in action. And then within 24 hours of having the best day of our lives where we had direction and everything was going great, it just changed like that.
Wow. So
big change.
It was a big change, wasn't it?
Yes.
And a big shock. So what happened that was such the big change?
So, yes, it was a big change and a big shock.
Yes.
Because when you just don't wake up the next day and you don't know why, it's a strange feeling. And apparently I had a brain bleed. Mm-hmm. And found out later. It was 3 days before I went to a hospital because I didn't know I was sick, which shows it was my brain going downhill. I didn't even recognize that I was struggling. I just knew I was sleeping a lot. And throughout the first 3 days, I had to sit in a lawn chair. I couldn't lay down because I felt like I was falling, and I couldn't sit up straight. And I couldn't hold my head up anymore throughout the first couple of days, and I couldn't type. I couldn't use my hands. And I became paralyzed on the right side, just like a simple paralysis, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I finally went to the hospital, went to a doctor and then sent me to the emergency room, I had had a brain bleed. I have cavernous AVMs, more than 10, so no surgery is possible.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know that at the time, so they evacuated me to the United States, to Vanderbilt, to see if by chance there was something new that could help me. So I just kind of went downhill from there, as far because the brain bleed, it was bleeding on one side, and I was losing movement, mm-hmm. losing cognition, losing able to talk much. I just got down to where I couldn't do anything, just like a zombie. I just sat like a zombie. I slept 22 hours a day for 2 years, mm-hmm. with no hope of recovery. After the first year, they said, "Really, there's no chance. I mean, there's no statistics to show you'll recover at all." And we did some special changes ourselves in life to try to help my brain. And each year, I slept less and less.
Wow.
And here we are 7.5 years later.
7.5 years.
And I'm not a medical professional, but we do know a lot about this. And,
yeah.
And when she says an AVM, it's an arteriovenous malformation in her brain. And what it is you have clusters of arteries and veins that are intertwined. And they're cavernous, which means they're really deep in the brain. So the neurosurgeon said, you know, we could fix this one, but you've got 9 others that could do the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it's best just to live with it.
Mm-hmm.
And the sleeping is to allow the brain to recover. That's how our brains recover. I mean, she didn't have to try harder. She didn't have to do physical therapy or anything like that. She just had to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that was for.
Wow.
And she got through those, you know, and in those 2 years, it was interesting because we, you know, our roles changed. You know, And I became the cook and the buyer of groceries and the washers of clothes and the cleaners of house. And when you have a brain injury, my cleaning is so much better than it was before. You know, it was much more acceptable.
Yes.
And that's when we knew she was getting better. She said, look at what you did. You missed this. So you know, that's how we knew she started getting better. But, yeah, it's been a long process. And, it, you know, she got better. You know, like we tried. We went to a New Year's Eve party and was out till 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And then she had to sleep the whole month of January just to recover from that.
Wow.
So it got to the point where, you know, here lately, you know, she could rest for 10 to 15 minutes and get her strength back. And now, you know, she hardly takes a nap or anything like that. So
that's what you're saying, though. It was a shock.
Oh, yes.
You got the strategic plan laid out.
Yeah.
We're excited about it. You maybe sense something's up, but it's kind of like some people know about people having strokes or something like that, and boom. And then there's nothing they can really do. They can't do surgery because of the way it is. Truly, it makes sense. The brain is healing itself and transitioning to a different ministry. Now, it had to be like, what in the world? But God was with you every step of the way. How did God sustain you through the midst of all of this?
Yeah, well, for me, one of the blessings that God gave, first of all, was my husband to be by my side 24 hours a day, because I couldn't be alone, because in any moment I could, the exhaustion would go to passing out. So I had to just never get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So it came so quickly sometimes, so he's always watching me. But the second blessing was I got to continue ministry. And you would think, how? But what happened was I was teaching an English class, just conversation, and had about 10 ladies. And they, when I got sick, they couldn't wait to get to my house and be there every week. They would set up the coffee. Jamie made coffee and stuff for them. But they would bring it into the room. They would chat among themselves, and I would just sit quietly. And if there was an English grammar thing they would ask me about or something they didn't know how to say, and I would participate just very little, but they wanted to be, they didn't ever miss a week.
Wow.
We had English every week after the 2 years of sleeping all day.
The 2 years, that was kind of like the coma sort of. Or,
and then sometimes during that 2 years, though, I mean, she would wake up and do her class and then go back to bed. And we found... a further thing that happened down the road, but we didn't notice it at the time, was that as long as she was in our house in a known environment where everything was familiar to her, she did fine. Mm-hmm. You would have never known that she had had a brain injury. But, you know, going to a grocery store, going to a new building, going to a new place, one of the after effects of this brain bleed was she has what is called brain flooding, where, you know, we have filters that filters out noise and light movement, things like that. But with her, it all comes in at 100%. Mm-hmm. And so it would just, you know, we always said she's like has a battery. And when that battery's down, she just stops.
Yeah.
And that's the way it was.
Yeah. Wow. But you were able to minister. Mm-hmm. You were able to continue on in Uruguay and get better. And actually, people that would see you today would probably be surprised. I should say we spent some time together in France and in Bulgaria, walking up hills and all of that. So really, you've continued to minister, and now your ministry has even changed. It's shifted in a different direction, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Yes.
So tell us a bit about what's happening in your ministry at this point.
Well, at this point, we were in Uruguay for 23 years. And thought that we would retire there and all those plans, but the Lord has different plans, and we've expanded our countries that we work with. Right now, we're working with Dr. Kenneth Eagleton in the Department of Global Field Partnerships or Global Partnerships, and we're working with 11 different partnerships in 9 different countries, and I'll be working with him. And my job. Primary job will be to learn about those partnerships, but also to promote them in the United States, because, you know, great things are happening through partnerships.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, it's the part of them, you know, it's the missionary dream, mm-hmm. where you work yourself out of the job and you find a national church that is strong enough to carry on, you know, they're able to carry on their ministries and they have their vision. And so rather than being a thing where, you know, at some point in your career, the missionary has to be the person that sets the vision, that sets the direction, and says, we need to do these things. Now they're to the point where they say, this is our vision. Mm-hmm. And the global partners, we come in alongside them and say, okay, what's your vision? How can we help you achieve this? And what resources do you need in order to fulfill the Great Commission in your context and through your eyes? And not only that, that's with places where we've had a significant investment of Free Will Baptist missionaries and time and prayer, you know, like Ivory Coast and Panama and Cuba and other countries. We also have partners who are like-minded, who we can partner with, and they're able to go into places where we're not able to send missionaries, mm-hmm. such as Pakistan and Bangladesh and parts of India. And so we're able to come alongside them and see them work. And to me, it's, you know, it's part of the whole missionary process. We need our pioneers, we need our church planners, but this is the part that's really exciting, because we see people who are working, some of them in very difficult places, mm-hmm. and they're sharing the gospel and the church is growing. And we also see places where we've invested those missionaries and the vision of the missionary has been captured by the national church, and they have taken it to a whole nother level, mm-hmm. things that maybe we never thought would happen. But, you know, they've taken the idea and they put their own spin, their own vision to it, and it's actually doing more than we ever thought we could do.
So 7.5 years ago, this grand master plan, and
it's all laid out, and we're going to do this.
This event happens. You're still able to minister in a different way, a different context. But now you could really say the ministry that you guys do is as rich as it's ever been, and somewhat even say fun. Some of the people you get to interact with and meet, and some of the things you get to see that's happening in the Lord's work, it truly is wonderful.
And I was just thinking, back when you're in the finding the will of God stage of your life, you know, we knew that we wanted to be missionaries, but somebody from Spain would come and say, oh, okay, we want to go to Spain. And somebody from Ivory Coast would come and say, oh, we want to go to Ivory Coast. And you've got all these places where you want to work. And we've almost now coming full circles, because now we get to work with 9 different countries. You know, yeah. So, you know, it's just a fun time.
Well, we are so thankful for you. We are so thankful for what the Lord has done in your lives and how he's brought you through this great difficulty, and we're excited about this new ministry. Our listeners are thinking, well, what can we do to support Jamie and Tammy? What kinds of things can they do to support your ministry at this point?
Well, one of the first things we're trying to do is just awareness, you know, being aware that Free Will Baptists have these ministries outside of what we would consider the traditional missionary scheme. And so we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. We're trying to get, you know, that out there. So if people can just, you know, sign up, get on those pages, and we try to do updates every day because there's always something happening somewhere. And secondly, it should be, you know, it's always first, but prayer. Mm-hmm. Prayer for these things. You know, that's another thing we learned in Tammy's difficulty, is that prayer is really the only thing. You know, mm-hmm. it's like I said, she couldn't try harder, she couldn't focus more, she couldn't have more willpower. The only thing that could do it is God's healing hand through mm-hmm. prayer. And we've had tons of prayer warriors during that time that also helped sustain us. But it's the same with this ministry. And you can also give. We have ability to give to partnerships. I really don't have a slick sales speech for it, because I feel like somebody said, you know, once we change people's hearts, once they see the need, once they see what God is doing through these people, I think the funds will come in. But mm-hmm. but yes, the prayer, the awareness, and then giving, those Good. Are things you can do.
Excellent. So we encourage folks to pray, and you can have, if you're on these social media sites, you're getting the newsletters, the emails, you can pray in a specific way. So really encourage folks to think about that and to commit that time to prayer. And we can't emphasize enough, probably, some of the places that this ministry is happening are places we really can't go and share the gospel. And it's exciting to see what's happening, and in many ways it's the fastest growing places in the world for Christianity. So get involved with that, and we do encourage folks to get online and to give and support in that way as well. Hey, thank you for stopping by and sharing your story and really giving us an update on what you're doing now in your ministry. We really appreciate you, too, and what you're doing for the kingdom. All right.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
You bet.
It's a pleasure.
And we want to thank you all, our listeners. We want to encourage you to take this podcast, share it with people that you think might be interested. Every little thing that we do helps. We encourage you to get on and look at the newsletter and to pray for these particular ministries. Pray for Jamie. Pray for Tammy. Pray that God will continue to be with them and use them. Remember, we truly are better together.